The last couple of Wednesday nights, we in our Bible study, and I know some of you don't get to come on Wednesday night because you work, and some of you don't get to be in here on Wednesday night because you're back there with the kids. But the last couple of weeks on Wednesday night in our Bible study, we have been in the book of 2 John, and then last week in the book of 3 John. And in both of those little letters, the Apostle John makes the statement that he rejoices greatly for those that continue to walk in righteousness. He rejoices greatly for those that keep the law. He rejoices greatly in those that try to follow what Christ wants them to do. And I've made the statement both Wednesday nights that today I don't think we do enough rejoicing about those that walk in righteousness. I don't think we do enough rejoicing about those who try to keep the commandments of God. I don't think we do enough rejoicing about those who try to do what God wants them to do. And so tonight, I just want to praise God for people that try to do right. I want to praise God for people that are people of this book. I want to praise God for people that read it, that believe it, and live it. Don and I were talking this morning. He said, "Preacher, I've given up arguing. I just tell people this is what the Bible says, and that's good enough for me. I'm not going to argue. They can decide if they're going to believe it or not, but I'm not going to argue with them. I'm just going to say, this is what the Bible says, and I believe it." Tonight, I want to praise God for people that have not ever gone into a wicked life of sin. Tonight, I want to praise God for people that have stayed by the stuff day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Tonight, I'm going to preach a sermon. If you noticed in the bulletin, I've entitled it, "Let's Hear It for the Older Brother." Let's hear it for the older brother. Everybody knows the story of the prodigal son. The younger son comes to his dad and says, "I'd like my part of the inheritance." Now, because there was two sons in this family, the younger son had by law, or had by custom, however you want to say it, a third of his father's inheritance. The older son got the double blessing, and so he got two-thirds. The younger son got the third. I'm the oldest. I've tried to tell my two brothers this hasn't changed and I deserve half of the inheritance, but I haven't sold them on that biblical concept. I tell them they're heathen, but anyhow. So he comes and he says, "I'd like my part of the inheritance," which would be a third of everything that his dad has. His dad, I don't think, wanted to do it, but agreed to do it, gave him his part of the inheritance. And we know the story. He went into a far country, and he wasted it all. He ended up with some people that he should not have hung around with. They were his friends as long as his money lasted. But when his money ran out, so did his friends. The Bible says he joined himself to a citizen of that country and went out and began feeding the swine, feeding the hogs, slopping the hogs. For a Jewish boy, that was as low as you could go. Hogs or pigs, swine were considered a dirty animal. And for them to have to feed them was as low as they could go. And by the way, that's how the far country always ends up. That's how sin always ends up. Again, Brother Don and I were talking about it before church tonight. He said, "I had a preacher," he said, talked about sin. Take you places that you never thought you'd go. Keep you longer than you ever planned to stay. And I added one that I had heard, make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. And that's the way sin always works. It always has an enticing promise at the beginning, but at the end, it always turns out bad for the sinner. Well, we know the story. As this younger son was feeding the pigs, the Bible says he came to himself. He said, "The servants back home with Dad have it far better than I have it here. I'm going to go back home. I'm going to tell Dad I'm no longer worthy to be his son. Just make me one of the servants, and I'll have a better life at home, one of the servants, than I have in this far country doing what I'm doing." So he started home. And again, we know the story. The father was looking for his younger son. He saw him coming down the road. He ran to him. He kissed him. He called the servants and said, put a new robe on his back. Put new shoes on his feet. Put a ring on his finger. Kill the fatted calf because we are going to rejoice. This my son that was dead is alive. This my son which was lost is found. And you've heard many sermons, you've heard many Sunday school lessons from this passage, and here's how it usually goes. We identify with the prodigal. We glorify the father for the love he showed in welcoming them home. And then the last 5 minutes of the sermon, we spend tearing down the older son because he got angry when he heard the music and wouldn't go in and welcome his brother home. I'm guilty. I preached a sermon one time, what kind of brother are you? And I criticized the older brother. I said it was probably his attitude that caused the younger brother to leave in the first place. Now, there wasn't any biblical basis for that. But he was angry. Now, again, let me hasten to say, I don't think his reaction was right. I don't think it was right for him to get angry. I don't think it was right for him to be jealous. I mean, let's put ourselves in his place for a second. Every day, up when the sun broke the horizon, feeding the chickens, milking the cows. Every day in the heat of the day, he was behind the plow, breaking up the ground, planting the seeds. Every day, he was at the end of a hole, getting the weeds out of the crops. He was the one that mended the fences. He was the one that took care of the animals. He was the one that had calloused hands, a sore back, and a fatigued body. He was the one that gathered the eggs. He was the one that harvested the crops. He was the one that took care of the farm, the one that took care of home, and the one that took care of Dad. Think about it from his perspective. Up at sunrise, feeding the chickens, milking the cows, while his younger brother was sleeping in some holiday inn in the far country. In the heat of the day, behind the plow, breaking ground, planting seed, and his younger brother laying in some air-conditioned room in the far country. As he was at the end of the hole, cutting the weeds out of the fields, his younger brother was beside the pool with somebody rubbing suntan lotion on his back. So put yourself in his place. As he feels the calluses on his hands, as he feels the soreness in his back, as he feels the tiredness in his body, he sees his younger brother in his mind living a life of luxury with no responsibilities and no problems. As he harvests the crops and takes care of the farm and takes care of home and takes care of Dad, he sees his younger brother wasting money that he had helped his father make. Now the younger brother comes home. And the older brother looks down. There's no new shoes on his feet. And yet the younger brother has a new pair of shoes. He feels no robe, new robe on his back. And yet his younger brother has one. There's no ring on his finger. And yet one sparkles from the finger of his younger brother. No fatted calf killed for him. No gathering of neighbors for him. No music, no dancing for him. And sometimes we say in our sanctimonious righteousness, now those are some big words, I hope you notice those big words. Sacrimonious righteousness. We sometimes in our sacrimonious righteousness say, this guy sure was mean. He shouldn't have got angry. He should have welcomed his brother home. He should have. But I dare say that if many of us were put in his place, we might feel the same way that he did. Now, don't get me wrong. Please don't misunderstand me. I think we should rejoice when the prodigal returns. When one comes out of the life of sin, when one comes out of the hog pens in the far country, we should rejoice. We should kill the fatted calf. But what about a robe for the older brother? What about a new pair of shoes for the older brother? What about a ring for the older brother? What about a party and a fatted calf and the neighbors in and music and rejoicing for the younger brother who day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, stayed by the stuff, did what his father asked him to do, worked. And so tonight I say, let's hear it for the older brother. Let's hear it for the one that stayed at home. If we're not careful, listen, if we're not careful, we'll send the wrong message to our children and our grandchildren. I mean, we've all heard about people that have come out of a life of sin. They've been alcohol or drugs or something that they've done, that they've served time in prison, and they've gotten gloriously saved. And I'm glad God can save prodigal sons. I'm glad that God can save people that have gone into deep sin. And some of them, they become preachers. I mean, they become evangelists, and they go around the country and draw great crowds, giving their testimony and telling how God has changed their life, telling how God has made all things new in their life. And that's wonderful. That's a tremendous testimony. But what about those who have lived clean lives, that were Sunday school kids from the time that they were born, that have lived pure, that have never, ever tasted alcohol, that have never, ever smoked a cigarette, whose arm has never, ever felt the needle, who have never, ever committed a crime, who have always obeyed mom and dad and the law? Shouldn't they be lifted up? Shouldn't somebody say, let's hear it for kids and people like that? I heard a story, true story. Lady came to her pastor because he was enamored with these people that have come out of sin. And he had, it seems like, twice a year, three times a year, he had evangelists in that were sharing their testimony of how they'd gone into deep sin and how God had saved them from their sin. And she came to her pastor and said, Pastor, why couldn't you share your testimony? Why don't you share your testimony? And he said, well, you know my testimony. I was a Sunday school kid from the time I was born. I mean, I did everything my parents wanted me to do. I went to Bible college. I became a pastor. Who would want to hear a testimony entitled, From the Romper Room to the Pulpit? Who would want to hear a testimony like that? She said, I do. I do. I want to hear a testimony like that. And he said, why? Why would you be interested? Why would anybody be interested in a testimony like that? And she said this, because I got two sons. And I want them to know that God can use people that stay pure all their life. That God can use people that never step outside of the lines. That God can use people that are always right and always pure and always true. God can use people like that too. I want to hear your testimony, and I want my boys to hear your testimony. And I want to say to every young person here tonight, God wants you to stay pure. God wants you to do right. God wants you to obey mom and dad. God doesn't want you to go into a life of sin. I'm glad we got a God that saves prodigals, but I'm glad we got a God that saves Sunday school kids. I'm glad we got a God that uses prodigals, but I'm glad we got a God that uses people that have never gone into sin, that have lived their whole life pure and clean, according to the way that God wanted them to live. So tonight, that's my introduction. I have 3 points I want to make about the older brother. They come from 2 things that he said and then 1 thing the father said. He said, first of all, lo, these many years do I serve thee. He didn't say, these many years have I served thee, or these many years did I serve thee. He said, these many years do I serve thee. What he was saying is, Dad, I served you yesterday, I served you today, and even though I'm mad at Junior, I'm going to serve you tomorrow. Even though I'm a little upset right now and I don't really want to go in, and I don't know what he did. I mean, a lot of these parables that Jesus told, we think are make-believe stories, but a lot of these stories were true. A lot of these stories were true. We call it a parable, but it could be a true story. He said, and I don't know if he went in or not. But what he was saying is, I served you yesterday, I served you today, and I will continue to serve you tomorrow. If Dad wanted something done, he didn't have to ask. This older brother did it. If Dad wanted something in town, this older brother went and got it. If Dad wanted the grass cut, or if Dad wanted the fences mended, this older brother did it. He was a servant to his Father. I hope when we walk through the pearly gate and we walk on that golden street and we stand before our Heavenly Father, we will be able to say the same thing. Dad, Father, Daddy, these many years do I serve thee. Praise God for people that will be able to stand before the Father and say, I messed up some. I didn't always do what I was supposed to do, but I never got way off course. I fell, and sometimes I stumbled, but I never chased the things of the world. I'll never give my life to alcohol. I never gave it to drugs. I never gave it over to material things. I gave my life to what you said were important. I served you. These many years I do serve you. I went to the lost and told them about Jesus. I went to the sick and comforted them. I fed the hungry. I clothed the poor. I helped the widows. I cared for the orphans. These many years do I serve thee. Let's hear it for the older brothers. I want to tell you tonight, I know we have in this church a mixture. I know we have people that have come out of, I know your testimonies because you've shared them with me. And I know we have people that have come out of a wicked life of sin and Jesus saved them. I praise God for you. I praise God for everyone that Jesus saved from a wicked life of sin. But you know what? Tonight I want to praise God for all you Sunday school kids. Tonight I want to praise God for you that you had a mom and dad that took you to church when you were little and you never strayed from the straight and narrow way. I'm not saying you're perfect. I know you too well. I know myself too well. None of us are perfect. But tonight I want to lift up those of you that have tried to live right, that have tried to live by this book all your life. Tonight I want to put some new shoes on your feet. Not really, but figuratively, because Brother Wayne takes everything I say seriously, and he'll be after me after church tonight. But I want to put a new pair of shoes on your feet. I want to put a new robe on your back. I want to put a ring on your finger. I want to kill the fatted calf and lift you up and say, praise God that you've stayed true and right and pure your whole life. Number two, he says, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. What he was saying, Dad, I've always obeyed you. You told me to be in early, I was early. You told me to do my homework, I did my homework. You told me to work, I worked. You told me to respect authority, I respected authority. I wonder when we hear that trumpet blow and we hear that voice that says, come up hither, and we rise to meet our Savior in the air, I hope that we'll have the same testimony. I hope that we'll be able to say, I've loved this book. I've studied it. Every law, every commandment, everything you've told me to do, I've tried to do. You told me to read the Bible, I've read the Bible. You told me to pray, I've prayed. You've told me to walk in a straight and narrow way. I've tried to walk in that straight and narrow way. You told me to witness, I witnessed. You told me where you wanted me to be, I went where you wanted me to be. You told me what you wanted me to do, and I've done what you've wanted me to do. I hope we have that testimony. We sang the song this morning for the invitation, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And again, tonight I praise God for the prodigals. I praise God for those that He has saved out of a life of sin. But tonight I praise God for those of you that have obeyed this book or tried your best to obey it all your life. Every word, every commandment, every jot and tittle, you tried to obey it. And then number three, here's what Dad said. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is yours. What Dad was saying, son, you've done a good job. You've stayed by the stuff. I never had to worry about you. I never lost one night's sleep over you. I never had to wonder if the work was going to be done. I never had any reason to be ashamed. You've always been with me. Always. I hope our Heavenly Father can say that about us. I always knew where you stood. Never had to worry about you. Knew I could depend on you. Gave you a job, knew it'd get done. You never gave me any reason to be ashamed. It's right to rejoice when the prodigal comes home. It's right to put a new robe on his back and new shoes on his feet, a ring on his finger. It's right to kill the fatted calf and invite the neighbors in and have music and dancing and rejoice. But tonight, here's what I say. Let's not forget about the one who stayed at home. Let's not forget about the one who always obeyed. Let's not forget about the one who's always been with the Father. Let's not forget about the one that's never missed Sunday school. You know, Mr. Jameson here has a record going. How many years has it been? Three or four? Five. So you're working on your fifth year. This is the fifth year that he's working on perfect attendance in Sunday school. Fifth year. Fifth year. Now, you know, I'm sure there's some Sundays that he feels bad. There may be Sundays where his mom and dad said, well, we think you should stay home. He said, no way. I'm going. I'm sure there's been opportunities for him to go with some of his friends to different places on a Sunday. But he's decided, he's made up his mind, he's going to be in Sunday school. Tonight, Mr. Jameson, I lift you up. That's how I want you to live your whole life. God can use the prodigal, but He can use a Sunday school kid like you. And I just use him for an example. I can say that about a lot of little kids that come to this church, a lot of children that come to this church, even some of the teenagers that come to this church. Their whole life, they had a mom and dad that brought them to Sunday school, that brought them to church, that brought them every time the door was open. And tonight, I thank God. I thank God for the prodigals. But I want you Sunday school kids to know tonight that I thank God for you too. I say like the Apostle John, I rejoice greatly that you're walking in truth, that you're walking according to this book. So let me ask you tonight, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to save you, if you're a prodigal, He'll save you. Thank God He saves the prodigals. Thank God. But if you're a Sunday school kid, I want to tell you tonight, going to Sunday school won't save you. Keeping all the rules won't save you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ will save you. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. And if there's any, just one person here tonight that doesn't know Christ, you need to come. Like Angie saying a moment ago, you need to get it settled. The victory can be won here and now, right here, right now. in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the older brothers. Thank you for the Sunday school kids. Thank you for those who have never strayed far from the path. They had a mom and a dad that raised them, pointed them to you. And all their life, they've walked as best they could in that straight and narrow way. I lift them up to you tonight. I thank you for their example. I thank you for their life. I praise them tonight. I pray, Father, that we would continue in the stuff. We would continue in that straight and narrow way. We would continue to do what you've called us to do. And I pray tonight, if there is just one person here that's never received Christ, that in these moments that the Holy Spirit would talk to them, show them their sin, show them the penalty for that sin, show them the one that died to pay the price for it, and come tonight and ask Jesus to save them. Speak to our hearts. Do in our lives tonight, Holy Spirit, what you know needs to be done. Help us to be obedient. Ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.